They froze. They waited in silence. They heard the buzz of cicadas, the occasional call of distant birds. It came again, the same soft cough, as if the person was trying not to make noise. Sanjiang crouched down, listening hard. The cough came a third time, and to Evans there was the strangest sensation of familiarity about it. It reminded him of his grandfather, who had had heart failure when Evans was a kid. His grandfather used to cough like that in the hospital. Weakly, little coughs. Now there was silence. They had not heard the cougher move away. If he had, he was truly noiseless. But the sound stopped. Kenner looked at his watch. They waited 5 minutes. Then he signaled for them to continue moving east, curving around the bay. Just as they were leaving, they heard the cough once more. This time, there were three in succession. Then nothing. Kenner signaled, "Move out." They had not gone 100 yards when they came upon a path. It was a clear trail, even though the overhanging branches hung low. It must be an animal trail, Evans thought, wondering vaguely what kind of animals they might be. There were probably feral pigs here. There were pigs everywhere. He vaguely remembered stories of people being surprised by pigs, gored by the tusks of an aggressive boar that charged out of the underbrush. The first thing he heard, however, was a mechanical click. He knew instantly what it was, the sound of a gun being cocked. The entire group froze, strung out in single file. Nobody moved. Another click. And another click. Evans looked around quickly. He saw nobody. It seemed they were alone in the jungle. Then he heard a voice.
"Dai, no got sock. White man. In Dai. Stop him."
Evans had no idea what it meant, but the meaning was clear enough to them all. Nobody moved. From the bushes ahead, a young boy emerged. He was wearing boots without socks, green shorts, a Madonna World Tour T-shirt, and a baseball cap that said, "Perth Glory." A half-smoked cigarette stub hung from his lips. He had an ammunition belt over one shoulder and a machine gun slung over the other shoulder. He was 5 feet tall, and could not have been more than 10 or 11. He pointed his gun with casual insolence.
"Okay, white man. You prisoner belong me, sabe? Book him, Dano."
And he jerked his thumb, indicating they should move forward.
"Go ahead."
For a moment, they were all too astonished to move. Then, from the jungle on both sides of the path, other boys emerged. Bradley said, "What is this? The Lost Boys?" Without expression, one of the kids slammed the butt of his rifle into Bradley's stomach. Bradley gasped and went down.
"Stop him, white man. Belong, Tok Tok."
"Oh, Jesus," Bradley said, rolling on the ground. The kid hit him again, this time in the head, and kicked him hard. Bradley moaned.
"On top, on top,"
the kid said, gesturing for him to get up. When Bradley didn't respond, the kid kicked him again.
"On top!"
Sarah went over and helped Bradley to his feet. Bradley was coughing. Sarah was smart enough not to say anything.
"Oh, nice Marie,"
the kid said. Then he pushed her away from Bradley.
"On top!"
But as they trudged forward, one of the kids went over to Bradley and squeezed the back of his arm, the triceps. He laughed.
"Tice, good."
Evans felt a chill as the words sank in. These boys were speaking a version of English. He could decipher it, if he thought about it a little, and played the words back in his head. "Nice Marie" was "Nice Mary." Maybe Mary was a word for woman. "On top" was "and up." And "Tice good" was taste good.